Though we encourage you at lunch to stay at your computer so you can enjoy the Beyond Chronic Burnout podcast live. I am so excited to bring Carol Jean Whittington in today with her Chronic Burnout, Beyond Chronic Burnout podcast. Carol, you give some of the best advice, and I am so excited for folks to get to enjoy you. So go ahead, take over.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much for having me here. When Becca said, hey, Carol Jean, would you like to come do a live recording of your podcast and share during the AANE conference? I went, oh my gosh, what an incredible idea. I love that you guys are answering the question in the chat. So if you haven't and you have something you'd like to share, the question is, what is the hardest part for you right now as you're navigating burnout in your daily life? We jump into the AANE conference recording, I wanted to just give you a heads up. Stick around to the end. I have a special coupon discount code for my book, Unleashing Sustainable Energy, and a few other surprises and some amazing things. Welcome to April. We are in Autistics in April, and this is my third annual Shine a Light Autistic Advocate campaign. I decided to do this over 3 years ago when I was just absolutely disgusted with what was being said by people other than us about us. This is one of my very big, passionate projects every April, and that is to shine a light on our voices, to elevate the conversations and the things that are important to us. So as we dive into the AANE conference, I wanted to let you know about some of the things coming up this month on the talk show so you don't miss any of the incredible Shine a Light advocates and allies that will be joining this month. So as we move into April, of course, you have me this month. For the very first episode as we kick off today. Next week, join me for self-advocacy during burnout with autistic advocate Ben Venhook. That will be on April the 9th. Ben is incredible. He's a really good friend of mine, and we have a really heartfelt conversation because when we recorded this, Ben was really experiencing some deep burnout. And how he was advocating for himself was really beautiful. And I loved that we had that conversation to share with all of you. The next week, we have Vaughn Harris on April the 16th talking about accessibility burnout. So Vaughn is an incredible ally to the autistic community. Vaughn lives in New York City. We got to meet in person when I was there for our Profound Network breakfast. And one of the things that happened that morning when Vaughn came in for our breakfast is he was like, I was hurrying to get here because my wheelchair wasn't being able to access some of the places in the train. And some of the platforms, you know, the elevators weren't working and train schedules were getting caught up. And, you know, he and I got to talking about the burnout that can happen when we're constantly facing accessibility challenges. So be sure to tune in for Vaughn Harris and the conversation on April the 16th around accessibility burnout. That's going to be followed up by my good friend, Chelsea Verrett, on April the 23rd. Chelsea is the owner and founder of The Pink Easel. And in this conversation, she and I are talking about autistic entrepreneurship. How are we taking all the stuff that's like in our milk crate that we're hauling around in our, you know, idea crate, essentially? And how are we navigating our energy and burnout as entrepreneurs, because I know a lot of you guys are also entrepreneurially minded. And we wrap up this incredible month of April with a very special guest, autistic author, political journalist, Eric Garcia, on April the 30th. Eric wrote the book, We're Not Broken, Changing the Autism Conversation. He joined me this past week. We had this wonderful conversation around, what are some of the policies? What is the political landscape right now in this election year here in the United States? What are some things as autistic people that we can be doing to advocate and to change some of the broken narrative that's out there in the world around the policies that are being made around us and the things that are either helping us or harming us. So please be sure and tune in. Let's get back and jump in to this amazing conference episode with AANE.
The question is, what is the hardest part for you right now as you're navigating burnout in your daily life? We've had some great responses come in so far. Guilt from feeling unproductive. This is a huge one. This is a really big place. One of the things I think that comes up most often in conversations that I have with beautifully, wonderfully wired folks. I'm ADHD. I am dyslexic. I am dyspraxic. I have an auditory processing delay, and I'm late identified. I did not know that I had this wonderfully wired brain and body, because it is not just our brains. It is our bodies that are also wonderfully wired, until I was 39 and 10 months. And the guilt, the shame that we can feel, because if we don't feel like we're being productive enough, we're not earning our place. We aren't meeting those expectations. You know, we get to this place where we feel like, I am just failing at adulting. This sucks. And that is, the guilt is such a tremendous energy drain. And it comes from this place that, for me, at least, and from what I hear from so many people that I work with around the globe, when we're talking about burnout, is I don't feel safe to not be productive. It doesn't feel safe in my body. It doesn't feel safe in my mind and my emotions and my heart, because somehow along the way, we got this messaging. We agreed to this place that we have to be productive to be worthy, to feel like we're enough, to feel like we're safe, to make sure nobody can say or do anything that says that we didn't give it our best, that we weren't good enough. And the place that I found that is sort of that invisible energy drainer, because I teach and guide people to their energy mastery. Because energy mastery is two sides. It isn't just that we have mastered how our energy goes out, because everybody in this room can raise their hand. We have mastered the heck out of where our energy goes out. But where I like to come in and show that the energy relationship and the mastery to get out of burnout for good and to stay out is when we have become the master of how we as individuals, each person, bring energy in. And it's the silent place of our internal expectations. I believe that this is the world's expectations. This is what's good enough. This is what's expected. And then there's our expectations. They're up here. They're higher. And they're internalized. No one has said that we have to be this productive and this good. We have gotten to a place in our life because of the experiences that we've had, that have said, I have to be better. I have to be flawless. There cannot be anything that anyone can say that I didn't do this perfectly. And where we really self-sabotage is when we look at that and we say, this might be the expectation. This is my expectation. And I am now judging how well I did that. And it doesn't live up to my expectations. And a lot of times it's, I'm going to be internally really hard on myself, because if I'm hard on myself first, if I have the highest expectations of me first, then no one else can hurt me. No one else can say I wasn't good enough. No one else can say I didn't do this well enough. And my darling friends, there was something that I learned, and this was a very hard place. There was a lot of resistance in this for me. And it was that I was creating an energy drain in my daily life because I believed, and I didn't feel safe to believe, that I could just be worthy and enough as I was, without adding anything to me, without taking anything away from me. Right now, in this moment, in this place, I am worthy just as I am. That's a hard place to soften, to become compassionately curious, to become loving and kind to ourselves. One other thing that was mentioned in the chat was managing all the things that need to happen to keep life running. This is a big one because we, especially, you know, if we got moms in the room and it's International Women's Day, hello, all my ladies, all my women. There's a lot that goes on because we live in a world that has these gendered ideas. And for a lot of us, we don't have very strict gendered roles or ideas about what these are. I find in our community, that's not really how a lot of us think and feel, but we come up against that a lot in the world. And so we onboard a lot of this that says, okay, again, here's what I should be doing, you know, in my role as, you know, however I've been identified or however I identify in my life. And you know, no matter what that is, we have these places where we're trying to juggle work and we're trying to juggle home and like just the everyday things of life. Like I need to have some clean clothes. I need to brush my teeth. Sometimes a sensory hell thing. And we get in this cycle, that guilt cycle, this shame storm of I have to be able to do all of these things. And one of the things that I teach in the Unveiling Method that is part of the phase two, and it is the self-care plan from the inside out, because we hear all this crap. Let's just be honest. We hear a lot of crap about self-care, and it really doesn't serve us. And it's not sustainable for a lot of it. And so we look at self-care as being this external thing that we have to do. And folks, I'm going to ask a question. Are you doing yourself to death? Are you doing yourself into this constant, chronic place of burnout? Because we have these ideas and these expectations that say we're supposed to be doing X, Y, and Z. So there's a researcher by the name of Lighty Klotz. And Lighty conducted a research study and said, okay, here's a problem. And I'm going to give it to these different groups of people. And I'm going to see how do they solve the problem. And the person says, most of the people in this research study said, hey, well, we're going to add these things or we're going to do this and this to solve the problem. They're going to add things to it. And the conclusion of the research, and this is such a big thing in burnout, guys, I want you to really think about this for a minute. The conclusion in this study that Lighty conducted was that we as humans have a bias against subtraction. We don't want to remove something. We want to add things to it. And the reason that Lighty identified that people wanted to add things to it, not remove things, were a couple of reasons. Number one, felt uncomfortable to remove something because that's mine. I don't want to get rid of it. You know, that's on my calendar, or I've done this for a long time, or that's been my job or my task. I do that. It's mine. I don't want to give it away, or I don't want to get rid of it. I might be missing out on something if I don't do it. And really, as I applied this to burnout restoration and energy mastery, it goes a lot deeper, especially for us beautifully, wonderfully wired folks. And it is, we believe that we're supposed to be able to do all of these things. And no one ever said, you're allowed to just say no. You're allowed to say, I don't want to do that. You're allowed to outsource something. Someone else can do it. But then we have these points of resistance that come in and say, well, they're not going to do it as well as I would do it. They're not going to do it to my expectations. You know, my husband and my kids can't load the dishwasher because they're not going to load it right. Now, I'm one of those folks who believe you can and cannot load a dishwasher in the right or wrong way. I believe in being efficient and I have a way. But I also found out that it was okay for other people in my house to load the dishwasher and it to be done in a different way than I would do it. Because there is an agency in that. There's a place that we can say, this doesn't have to be mine. This doesn't have to be done in this way. Somebody asked, how do I get my mojo back? That's a big one. For a lot of us, it's like, well, I don't even know what the heck my mojo is. I don't even remember what my mojo is, what my energy is. What did it feel like to be energized? So I want to ask you to join me for just a moment. Close your eyes if you're comfortable with that. If you're not, just kind of sit and get into a comfy space. You know, as you're eating your lunch, just take a pause for a couple minutes with me. Take a deep breath in. It's comfortable. Exhale. For all of the sensory, auditorily sensitive folks, I apologize if breathing is killing you right now. Inhale. Exhale. Open your jaw. Close it. Rotate your shoulders. Roll your neck. Really exhale all the way. Push all the air out. Two extra breaths out. Make sure you got it all out. There's some science into that. When we can fully exhale and we can completely breathe out and we can take a full breath in, it signals to our brain and to our nervous system that we are safe. And it's one of the places that I didn't feel safe for most of my life. And if you were asking that same question of, well, what the heck is my mojo? I don't even remember. Take a journey with me for a moment. Think back to childhood. Think back to those days when you know, if you love to go outside, the days that you were outside, you were playing and you were carefree and you were laughing and you were exploring. Think back to the days you were sitting in your room and you were playing with your toys. You were looking at the things around you. Maybe you were just learning to read. And so you're looking and flipping through all the pictures in the book. Where you were just being. For most of us, when we can go back to that place, we can tap into just a little, that faint memory of it. What we recognize is there was this freedom. There was this stillness in our mind and our body that there wasn't the overthinking and the thought loops and trying to navigate all this stuff. There was just this effortless, joyful being. There was a place in my life. It was a Friday night, and I was in my school uniform. And I know it was a Friday because I had on my school uniform blazer, and it was my favorite, and I loved Fridays. Because on a Friday, when I put that blazer on, I felt protected. It was the armor that I wore. But I couldn't wear it every day like I wanted to, because I went to a girls' school and I was young and, you know, fitting in and following all of the unspoken social rules was really important. And I didn't quite understand those. And I would wear my jacket regular Monday through Thursday and I would get teased. But Fridays I loved. And I know it was a Friday because I had that blazer on and I was sitting on the bed in my room. And I remember, you know, I had this beautiful, frilly, multicolored gingham bedspread, and it was my favorite. And I was sobbing. And it was that sob that's quiet. You make no noise, but your body shakes. And I was shaking, and I was crying. And my mother walked down the hall, and it was after dinner. And she stopped and came in, and she sat down, and she put her arm around me, and she said, "Baby, why are you crying? What's wrong?" And I didn't have the words because at 6 years old, I had a wonderful vocabulary. but I didn't have the words for what I was feeling. And I looked at her and I said, Mama, I don't want to be here. And she said, honey, what do you mean you don't want to be here? Do you need to go somewhere? Is there something we need to do? And I said, Mama, no, I mean, I don't want to be here in this body, in this place anymore. Now, I've been the 6-year-old child that has said this to their mom. I've also been the mom who's had their child say this to her. And in my global research study over the last 3 years into burnout, and specifically burnout into how our neurotype experiences this, how our body processes and experiences burnout, in all of that research data, what I have learned is that I was not alone. One of the top 20 warning signs that you might be experiencing burnout is suicidal ideation. Now, here's some of the numbers. For the majority of people living in developed countries, the United States, Canada, UK, parts of Europe, Australia, and many others, we begin preschool around age 4, sometimes 3, but mainly around age 4. So what we've identified in the data and the research is that we have had many people say, I recognize, now that I've learned these things from you, Carol Jean, around burnout, that in my burnout history data, I started to experience burnout warning signs around age 4 and 5. And where the first burnout is usually hitting is somewhere between age 6 and age 8. I've had respondents report experiencing and remembering the experience of burnout warning signs as early as age 3. And for most of us, we have experienced burnout on what I call the chronic cycle burnout loop. And I'll talk about the restoration illusion trap that happens with that. So I've created 5 different levels of spicy burnout, from a level 1 poblano pepper, where there's just a little bit of heat in your day. You got a little bit of spice happening, all the way up to the ghost pepper level 5, where you might be so hot, you're not. That's where your body starts to shut down. And what really amazes me is how many people I have to come work with me one-on-one who are in a ghost pepper level 5. And then we do a degree of heat within each one of these pepper levels. And what absolutely amazes me is that I have so many that come to work with me who are in a ghost pepper level 5. And their degree of heat is a 10 out of 10. And this person is still working full time. This person is still pushing through. They are pushing themselves to capacity. And for so many, it's been so long because we've been in some degree of burnout since the age of 6. Or earlier. For me, it was almost 40 years. I'm in now year 4 plus. November of 22 was 4 years that I have been burnout, shutdown, and meltdown free for the first time. Since I sat on that bed and told my mother I didn't want to be here anymore. And I thought through all of those years that I was failing, that I wasn't figuring it out, that I wasn't smart enough. And I've heard so often from so many others that they felt that way as well. And if you're feeling that way today, I want you to know I see you, and you're not alone. I want to pop over here to the question box, because we've got 3 questions here. I've been experiencing repeated cycles of burnout every time I attempt to assume greater responsibilities in life, such as working, adulting, socializing, and so forth. How can I find a healthy balance that is somewhere between functioning well and being completely out of commission? All right, well, let's talk about this one. So when I talk about the chronic cycle burnout loop, and we've got the 5 different levels, in my burnout quiz so you can identify if you're like, yep, I'm in burnout, Carol Jean. I don't know how burned out I am. The first thing to do is to take the quiz and identify which of the spicy peppers am I? Am I a poblano one? Am I a jalapeno level two? Am I a cayenne pepper level three? Am I a habanero pepper level four? Or am I ghost pepper level five? And the reason that I created this is because I needed context for myself. I needed to know how and where I was, what the criteria was for that, so that I could track how I was doing, how to adjust. So chronic cycle burnout loop, I've identified in my research over the last 3 years that for the majority of late identified folks and adult autistics, we tend to circle three numbers, level three, level four, and level five. And for the majority of us, we hang out in level three and four for most of the time. And in my chronic burnout work and in that quiz, we're looking at several factors that contribute to the biggest identifier for where you are in burnout. Number one, it is how does it impact your communication? Because mutism happens. It was one of the things that showed up for me. And it might show up for you too. And it can show up in a lot of different ways. Emotional regulation. Executive dysfunction. Now, for all my ADHDers out there, yes, we have like this normal level of dysfunction, but this is like more than your norm, okay? So we look at what is your level or experience and degree of executive function in your life. We look at your sleep because burnout will disrupt your sleep faster and stronger than anything. So we want to make sure we look at that. That's important. And for a lot of us who also, you know, as autistics and ADHDers, we also have different neurochemistry that impacts our sleep. You know, we have physiological things, co-occurring health conditions, all of these elements. But for a lot of us, we've hung out not knowing it, thinking this is just how life is in that level three, level four of burnout. And what happens is we've been there for so long that we have done something called normalizing it. And it's just, that's just life. That's how it is. It's been so long since I felt my mojo, right? Back in childhood when we kind of did that meditation a little bit together a minute ago. So as we look at this, one of the things to look at is I know I did this, and this is why I created this particular point to talk about is the restoration illusion trap. So we've hung out in these three areas that we've kind of cycled for decades for most of us, not just years, but for decades. And it's, I hang out in a three or a four, this has kind of become my norm. And so when things get stressful and I move into a deeper degree of burnout, then I'm going, oh, I internally feel it. Because burnout shows up in two places. The place that we feel burnout is internally, and that's the internal burnout warning signs. That's our physical, mental, and emotional experience of burnout, because it shows up in all those places. And it's in that we recognize, oh, I'm burned out. But because I've maybe been in a three or a four for a really long time, when I move into a deeper degree of burnout and I'm starting to feel more of those internal symptoms and those internal warning signs, I then go, oh, I'm in burnout. I'm in like big burnout. And what we think when things get better, you know, maybe we make some changes. The stress decreases. The chronic demand of something has eliminated for whatever reason, and we start to feel better. And here's the trap. We've moved down the scale. Maybe we moved into a five for a little bit, and we moved down to a four. And just that moving from one degree to the next is such a relief that we think we're out of burnout. So we fall into that restoration illusion trap because, number one, we don't even know where the heck we are on the scale. So we can't even identify, oh my gosh, I've been hanging out at a three or a four for months or years or decades. And I moved into maybe a four or five for a few months and it felt horrible till something changed. And I started to feel better. And so it's an illusion that I'm not in burnout anymore. That second place that I talk about where burnout shows up It's the place that burnout shows up first, and it's in our external world. And we have external warning signs, but we don't know to look for them. We haven't identified them, so we miss them. So the first place burnout shows up for most people is internally when they feel it. But what I teach and what I lead people and guide people through is to identify externally in your world, how does burnout show up for you first? How does stress show up for you first? So that you're not in this chronic cycle of burnout. Because when we add things to our life, when we add new demands, if we don't have a toolkit that says, this is what works for me, because there's 30 basic human needs. And I call these nourishment keys. We each have our own unique set of nourishment keys. And each person has, depending on the season of their life, one particular nourishment key that is the biggest energy drain for them right now. And when we start to put in some scaffolding, some boundaries, right? Our personal rules to get that nourishment key met consistently and sustainably in a fun and easy, light way, because nothing has been fun or easy to this point because we've been burnout struggling. So when we can do those things and bring them back in, that's where we begin to shift. Let's take a look in the questions here. Aha, where can we find a list or explanation of each spicy burnout level? So you get that when you take the quiz, and it will go dive into each one of those spicy pepper levels. So I love that. Carol, you're a great inspirational speaker. Can you talk to my son 15 minutes every day? Hey, jump on the podcast, go subscribe. I will talk to you all day long. Someone said, my immediate family's denial of my autism and its effects. You know, that's something I actually created a course around several years ago, because this is a really big place. This was something that I came up against too. In late identification, or even if we've known since we were little, but we've never figured out and identify what does being autistic mean for me, it's really hard to effectively communicate with other people what we haven't been able to put words in a context around for ourselves. So the first place is to really begin exploring, what does it mean for me? Not everybody else, but for me. And then the second thing is, I gotta identify the folks that have actually earned the right to hear my story, because not everybody's earned that right. Not everybody has earned the right to hear it. And sometimes it's the people closest to us who haven't earned the right to hear it yet. Because we need to know that they understand, or we need to start different conversations. I hope this is really helping you guys and kind of tying some things together. Do you really work with individual people? Yes, I really work with individual people. Oh my goodness. You've been explaining what's been happening to me and I need help. Absolutely. Please, please hop over to Whittington Wellbeing. The podcast is called Beyond Chronic Burnout. You can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all of your favorite listening platforms, and on YouTube at Beyond Chronic Burnout. My burnout quiz is available online at Whittington Wellbeing. And hey, let me go pull this up real quick and I will slap those little suckers in the chat, right? So first of all, let me put in, I have a book and it's called Unleashing Sustainable Energy. It is for all of our beautifully, wonderfully wired humans. And I have a special discount code that I just popped into the chat that will give you $5 off of the book and the workbook companion bundle. Now, this isn't just one workbook. This is a host of workbooks, because assessments are great. And I tell you this in the book, and we've got a ton of assessments to kind of help you figure out where you are. Because if we know where we are, it's like a GPS, right? We can then create the map to get you where you want to go. Because if you want to get out of burnout and stay out for good, energy mastery is the path. And that means identifying your key nourishment needs and your sensory profile blueprint. And this book takes you through all of those, along with those wonderful workbooks to apply all the things you learn in your assessment, because assessments are great, but they are completely worthless and useless if someone doesn't also guide you into, how the heck do I apply this? So here, let me take a copy real quick of this. I'm getting the link and I will pop it in the chat. And this is the quiz to the spicy pepper burnout quiz. So you can find out which level or degree of burnout you are experiencing right now. And I will then send you, when you drop in the chat, what your pepper result was in the online portal. Please join the online portal, take this quiz. This is the place where you join in with the Unveilers community. This is where you become a part of our VIP list and you'll get all the amazing things that are happening. Thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you for asking these incredible questions. Thank you so very much for taking a moment to just put your hands on your heart, take a deep breath. I am worthy just as I am right now. And if you don't yet believe it, and if your body responded to it in a way that said, that's not true for me, I want you to know that thought thermostat, that running too hot and telling yourself all of the things that aren't really true, they're not. And you are absolutely worthy, just as you are. Thanks so much for being here and thanks for sharing, guys.
Thank you so much, Carol, for being with us today. And what an amazing podcast. I hope that you guys got those links.
Thanks so much, Becca. Becca Lori Hector is one of the most incredible workplace advocates for neurodivergent humans, and I absolutely adore her and all of the work that she does in the world. So guys, if you aren't sure where to begin, where to start your burnout restoration journey to your best thriving life, start by taking the Spicy Pepper Burnout Level Quiz. Now, if you're not in burnout, this quiz will tell you that. It'll just say, hey, you're doing better than you think you are. You're actually not experiencing any of the spicy pepper levels of burnout, but here's some resources and tips for things to help you continue your journey. And if you rate between a level one up to that spicy ghost pepper level five, there's all kinds of tips and resources in your results to help you take the next steps. And I want to make sure that I shared something with you specifically as we're celebrating Autistics in April, and this is my third annual Shine a Light campaign. I want to give you $10 off my book and companion workbook bundle now through April 30th. So down in the show notes, use that special link provided. The code is SHINE. It'll already populate for you. I added it in the link, but just in case maybe you come to that link from somewhere else, the code is SHINE, S-H-I-N-E. Go get that incredible book that I wrote just for you called Unleashing Sustainable Energy that gives you the entire framework for the unveiling method, all the assessments, and exactly what to do with what you learn. And to make it even more juicy, even more incredible, join me this Saturday, April the 6th, for the Nail Your Number One Nourishment Key Work Along with me live. This is a 90-minute work along where we're going to go into exactly what I talked about in this conference at AANE around your nourishment key, that number one nourishment key, the place where your energy is being drained out the most that you might be able to feel, but not identify specifically what it is. And in this work along, we're going to help you. And by the end of it, you're going to have nailed that number one nourishment key for you. And we'll move into some of those opportunities that you can then take to work with me in a very special small group 8-week program that's the foundational element of my unveiling method. I would love for you to join me. And the best place to get started, take that quiz, sign up, nail your number one nourishment key with me for free this Saturday. And if you're looking for other resources, how you can work with me, how you can bring me into your company or work with me one-on-one, or hey, even join in on that small group program that's getting ready to start here later in April, go to whittingtonwellbeing.com. Learn more about me, more about the mission and the vision of Whittington Wellbeing, and how we can help you and guide you to your best thriving life, because it is already yours, my friend. You don't have to earn it. I'll see you next week. Join me for that conversation with Ben Venhoek.